Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to Arise Family Church, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We have been on a series called Faith's Secret Weapon to Take New Territory. And so we started off with our theme scripture. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 24, says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." We go, okay, what kind of day is that? So we back up a few verses to verse 21. Verse 21 says, "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation." So what kind of day is it? It's a day of salvation. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of deliverance. It's a day of prosperity. It's a day of victory. It's a day of healing. It's a day of health. It's a day of preservation. It's a day of wholeness. It's a day of our welfare. Hallelujah. That's what the word salvation means, both in the Greek and in the Hebrew. Salvation. Glory to God. It's a day of salvation. In other words, we're not trying to get it. Jesus has already got it for us. Amen? Jesus is our Savior. He's our Avenger. He's already done it for us. He's provided it, bought and purchased for it, bought and purchased it for us with His precious blood. Amen? So, this is our theme scripture. Last week we talked about the praise cure. And talked about, just shared a number of different testimonies and stories about how the praise cure works and operates and brings healing and health and wholeness and strength, miracles in our physical bodies. Talked about in Luke chapter 18, the phrase or the instruction about the shout of faith and praise brings justice. The shout of faith and praise brings justice, where God sets things right, puts things right, and makes things right in our lives. And so today, let's go ahead and go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, we find David and his men were coming home from battle, and they saw some smoke off in the distance, and as they got closer, they recognized it was their city that was on fire. And when they made it home, there was no home to go to. Everything was on fire. Their wives and children and all their stuff was stolen and taken. And so we see that they began to weep, and they began to weep, and they began to weep. And the end of verse 4 says, they lifted up their voice and they wept until they had no more power to weep. And then verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed. The word greatly means very much. The word distressed means vexed and under pressure. He was greatly distressed. He was very much vexed and under pressure. In other words, we could say that he was a little bit frustrated. A little bit frustrated. He was very distressed. He was under a whole bunch of stress and pressure. It says, because the people spoke, there was a desire and a report that some of his men were talking about stoning him and killing him because someone's got to pay for this. It's got to be someone's fault. And we might as well point the fingers at the leader. Might as well point the fingers at our boss. You know, he's the one that made us go out there. He's the one that took us away from home. So we'll just kind of point our fingers at him. We've got to kill somebody. It's got to be someone's fault. Someone's got to pay for this. And so they spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Matter of fact, my cross-reference says embittered. His guys were very bitter. They'd wept and wept until they had no power to weep, and now they're just bitter. because they don't know why. Why? And so what's David going to do? Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He's greatly distressed. He's under an enormous amount of stress and pressure. Very frustrated. And his response and his answer was that he needed to encourage himself in the Lord. There was nobody else around to encourage him. So he chose to encourage himself in the Lord. Now the word encourage in the Hebrew means this. It means to fasten upon. He fastened himself upon the Lord. To seize the Lord, right? To strengthen, to force, to harden, to lean, to prevail, to mend, to cure, to help, to repair, to bind, to conquer, to continue, to become mighty, to make stronger, to behave valiantly, and to withstand. This is what David did, and this is what happened to him when he encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't just encourage himself. You know, he didn't just watch a funny movie. He didn't just keep himself busy to keep his mind off of the situation and circumstance. Those are some natural things that we can do that can help a bit. But we're talking about going beyond the natural into the supernatural. We're talking about beyond just what anybody else can do. We are talking about doing something that causes us to fasten upon the Lord, the God, our help, our source, our Savior. To seize Him, to strengthen, to harden ourselves to difficulty. The Lord says He hardens us to difficulty. So all of a sudden, things just bounce off of us. Why? Because He's hardened us to difficulty. We're not just soft and weak and break down over everything. He's enabled us to be hardened to difficulty, not hardened to people, not hardened to Him, but hardened to difficulty. Hallelujah. He caused himself to become mighty, to become stronger. He began to act valiantly, and he began to withstand the pressure of the stress by encouraging himself in the Lord. Amen? So, what we're talking about today is how to respond to frustration. How to respond to frustration. Faith's secret weapon. We've been talking about faith's secret weapon is praise, is rejoicing. That the spirit of faith, let me read that. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices. Rejoicing and praise are faith's secret weapon. And so he encouraged himself in the Lord. John chapter 16. Let's go to John chapter 16. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. John chapter 16. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, the last verse, verse 33. Jesus speaking, he says, I have told you these things. Why? So that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. He's telling us these things so we can have perfect peace and confidence. Hallelujah. So these things that we're hearing are to stir up and produce, and the result would be peace and confidence in our lives. So I've told you these things, that in me you'd have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Now, that doesn't produce peace or confidence, but he's just kind of sharing. This is not something that we have to believe for. He is just stating a fact, okay? He says, in the world, this is just how it is. In the world, you will have tribulation, trials, stress, and frustration. He says, but be of good cheer. in the tribulation, in the stress, in the trial, in the frustration, what I want you to do is I want you to be of good cheer. Good cheer. The Amplified Bible tells us what that word good cheer, what that phrase means. It means to take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. Now, the fact that he said good cheer, it's not, just take courage with a sad face. No, it means put a smile on your face and take courage. Begin to laugh and giggle and be confident and certain and undaunted. Be of good cheer. Why? He says, because I have overcome the world. Now, you do recognize, we need to remember that what Jesus did, he did not do for himself. Because Jesus, everything he did for us, because he was doing just fine. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, all is well in heaven. All is well at the Father's right hand. All is well. All is well. But there, not all was well here. And so the Father had a plan of redemption. Jesus said, I will do the plan. I will become the Redeemer. And the Holy Ghost said, I'll implement it and make it work. And he enabled Jesus to fulfill the plan. Amen? So there's the plan. And so he became our Redeemer. So everything he did for us. So the Amplified Bible continues on to let us know that this is more than just, I have overcome the world. Well, that's good for you, but what about me? That's good for you, but what about us? Right, the Amplified Bible goes on and let us know how this redemption has affected us. He says, I've overcome the world. What does that mean? That means I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. When Jesus said, I overcame it, this is what he's saying. I did it for you. I deprived it of its power over you, and I have deprived it of its ability to conquer you. So be of good cheer when you're frustrated. Be of good cheer when you're under pressure. Be of good cheer when you're in tribulation. Be of good cheer when you're in the midst of a trial. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I have deprived it of its ability to harm you or conquer you. In other words, I have enabled you to overcome and be victorious. Amen? That's what he's done for us. And so the key is, though, he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. We can't whine and complain and get the victory. Faith's secret weapon is not whining and complaining. Faith's secret weapon is being of good cheer. Rejoice. Praise. The shout of faith and praise while we're stressed out. The shout of faith and praise while we're frustrated and under pressure. Amen? The shout of faith and praise. Cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Glory to God. So frustration is part of being in this world, but we're to take courage. So David, under frustration, encouraged himself in the Lord. So how can we do this in our lives? How can we put this into practice? How can we do this when we walk out the doors the rest of this week, next week? How can we implement this and put this to work in our lives to change next year, right? We don't want next year just to be like this year. We don't want year after year, everything the same and nothing change and nothing get better. We want things to get better because God is the God of increase. We ought to be increasing. Things ought to be getting better. Our best days are ahead of us. The only way we can experience those best days is we're going to have to function the way our King Jesus instructs us to function and operate in the kingdom. As kingdom citizens and members of the family of God, we ought to act like the family. We ought to act like citizens of the kingdom. Amen? And so, how do we do that? Well, let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And let's look at a couple guys who found themselves in a very frustrating, tribulating, stressful situation. It's interesting. Paul is praying, Lord, where should I go here? God says, no. Should I go there? God says, no. And then he has a dream about someone in Macedonia saying, come on over here. All right, let's go to Macedonia. It seems like God is leading us to Macedonia. They go to Macedonia, and they're looking for a man who said, come over here. They go down to the river to pray, and they meet a woman, and she opens up doors of ministry. And then while they're ministering, they cast the devil out of a woman who, you know, and all of a sudden, hell breaks loose, and they're thrown in jail. What do we see? Verse 23. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge or instruction or command, he thrust them into the inner or the lower part of the prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They're chained to the floor. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. At midnight. So you know what? Midnight. You know, the clock struck 12 and the cuckoo went, cuckoo, 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 to 12 times. It was midnight. But what happens when it's just seems like it's the midnight hour in our lives? What do we do when it seems like it's the darkest time in our life? It doesn't have to be the midnight cuckoo hour, whatever time it is, but it just seems like it's the darkest. It seems like it's just midnight, it's dark, what do we do? Well, let's find out what they did, and we can do the same thing. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Say, prayed? They prayed, and they sang praises. Say, sang praises. They sang praises. They prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. In other words, they didn't just whisper them to themselves. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. There was a deliverance. There was freedom. And then a revival broke out right in there in the middle of the jail. The jailer got saved. His family got saved. It's just like, wow, what an open door. But see, what did they do? It says they prayed and sang praises. Now, if you have spent a lot of time praying about a situation or a circumstance, that's good. We don't want to belittle prayer. And yet, on the other hand, if that's all we've done, we might be short-circuiting something, because the Bible says here that Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang praises. They didn't just stop at the prayer part. They prayed and then they sang praises. So if we have prayed, it might be time to start singing praises. It might be time, because when they prayed and then they sang praises is when their breakthrough and their victory came. The breakthrough and the victory didn't come after they prayed, but the breakthrough and the victory came after and as they were praising God. Faith's secret weapon to take new territory in our lives. These new things that God wants to do in our life. How do we access them? How do we cause them to break forth and to break loose in our lives? By prayer and praise. They sang praises to God. Amen? Praises to God. So this is a key right here. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. So it may be time to start praising God. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, 21, King James Version. Joel chapter 2, verse 21 says this. Fear not, O land, fear not, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Interesting, it doesn't say be glad and rejoice because the Lord did good things. Now we can do that. It's very good to be glad and rejoice after he's done something, but there's nothing about faith doing it after he's done it. This verse says, listen, do it before it happens. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be glad and rejoice because the Lord will do great things. So it's something that we do by faith, first of all. That's why it's faith's secret weapon. It's something we do before. This is something we do before the doors in the jail open up. This is something we do before the chains fall off. This is something we do before the jail shakes. This is something we do before. We be glad and we rejoice. Amen? Hallelujah. So be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Now, what about these words? Be glad. Be glad is the Hebrew word 1523. And it means to rejoice. It means to spin around. It means to be joyful. Be glad and rejoice. Be glad. And then the word rejoice is the Hebrew word 8055. And it's a root word that means to brighten up, to cheer up, to be gleeful, to be merry-hearted, to be joyful, and to rejoice. It's just all lets us know, listen, rejoice, be glad, be excited, be merry-hearted, be just, yay, brighten up. Brighten up. Amen? Hallelujah. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Let's go back to Acts 27. Acts 27. Acts 27. And we'll take a look. Paul finds himself in a situation that is not his doing. Number one, he's arrested and it's not his fault. Number two, they've been sailing and they found kind of like a safe haven, but it's time that they're wanting to move on. And he says in verse 9, Acts 27, verse 9, he says, "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And he said to them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. And nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken by Paul.' And so they sailed off." So Paul is... he just has to go. He finds himself in a situation that is not his problem. It's not his causing. He just finds himself in a situation, in a circumstance, where all of a sudden there's a storm. And verse 20 says, "And when the sun nor stars in many days appeared, and so no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." He found himself in a frustrating situation, where if he had his own choice, if he was allowed to make his own choice, he wouldn't even be there. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation and circumstance that we had no choice in. We just find ourselves in it. What do? It's frustrating. When we have the answer ahead of time, but no one listens. They weren't listening. It's not like he could just get out and walk away. They're on a ship in the middle of the ocean and, you know, in the middle of the sea, and there's nowhere to go, and it's just not even good weather. There's nothing. I mean, and all hope was lost. Literally, it was gone. Literally, it says it was taken away. Literally, their hope was taken from them. The storm had took the hope. Literally yanked the hope right out of them. It's gone. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs," he came back after a time of prayer, an encounter with the Lord. He said, "Sirs, listen, you should have listened to me. But, hey," verse 22, "I exhort you to be of good cheer." Say, "Be of good cheer." Hallelujah. This is not the first time he says this. "Be of good cheer. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said to me, 'Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all of them that sail with you.'" Isn't that interesting? He said, "I've given you all of them that sail with you." Not the ones you're sailing with. They're sailing with you. They ought to thank you for being on the boat, because they're sailing with you, and I'm saving you, and they're going to be saved because of you. Hallelujah. God said that. "I'm giving all them that sail with you. Therefore," here he goes again, Therefore, sirs, guys, listen, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Put a smile on your face. Why? Because I believe God that it shall be, even as it was told me. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Be joyful. That's what this word means. Cheer up. Be of good cheer. Cheer up and be joyful. Cheer up and be joyful. Why? Because I believe God. You understand, believing God will cause us to cheer up, to be cheerful, and to rejoice. Cause us to be joyful. If we believe God, it'll produce joy. Amen? If we believe the devil, it'll cause us to get discouraged. Cause us to be afraid. That's what fear is. That's why he said, fear not. Fear not. Fear is believing the devil, and it gets us discouraged. Believing God causes us to be joyful. Believing God puts a happy face on us. Why? Because it causes us to be joyful. Why? Because God always has the answer. He always gives us hope when it looks like there's no hope. The devil will always try to steal our hope when it looks like there's some hope. Well, we've got one more option. He'll try to steal that option to take away any hope. So we expect the worst, so he can do the worst. But if we believe God, it'll cause joy and an expectation that God is able to do what he said he will do. Amen? He's well able. Glory to God. So faith has a secret weapon, and it's called joy. Being of good cheer. Why? Because we believe God. It shall be, even as it was told us. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll read verses 2 and 3. How to respond to frustration. How to respond to frustration. Paul said, be of good cheer. Cheer up. Here we go. Verse 2. My brethren or family, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, tests, and trials, frustrating situations. Hallelujah. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, tests, trials, frustrating situations, knowing this. Understanding and being very aware of this, that the trying of your faith works and develops and produces patience, consistence, cheerful endurance, and perseverance. Hallelujah. And let patience have a perfect or develop a perfecting maturing or growth work in us. Why? So that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. Hallelujah. So what are we supposed to do in frustration? What are we supposed to do in tribulation, tests, and trials? He said, listen, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. What is the word count? The Greek word translated count, it means this. It means to consider. It means to judge. It means to suppose. It means to think. It means to command. And it means to have the rule over. Count it all joy. Command, have the rule over, and think. Count it all joy. What about the word joy? The word joy means this. In the Greek, this Greek word translated joy, it's also translated cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness, and exceeding joyful. Not just joyful, but exceeding joyful. That's kind of like rejoicing. That's kind of like spinning around and jumping up and down. Exceeding joyful. Amen? Count it all joy. So what does that mean? Taking all these words here, I've put this together. this little paraphrase. We must rule over the circumstances with calm delight. See, when we're in a frustrating situation, it's not a good time to get frustrated. We're to rule over that situation and circumstance with calm delight. We're to be calm. The Apostle Paul wasn't running around all over the ship, jumping up and down and going, whoa, 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 I don't know what to do. No, no, no. Calm delight. Calm delight. When he walked down to his room, he walked calmly. When he walked back up, he walked calmly. When the angel walked through the side of the ship and talked to him, he was calm. Calm delight. We must rule over the circumstances with calm delight and command ourselves to think cheerfully and glad. Right? Because our flesh will want to whine and complain. Our flesh will want to cry. Our flesh will want to curl up in the corner. Our flesh will want to stick its head in the sand like the ostrich and hope everything just changes by the time we pull our head back out. That's what our flesh wants to do. It just wants to take the easy road and not do nothing and not confront nothing. No, no, no. We need to command ourselves. See, and that's what David did when he was greatly distressed, vexed, and under pressure. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He commanded himself to be cheerful and glad. Paul and Silas commanded themselves. They didn't bicker and they didn't complain and they did not begin to attack one another. Silas didn't attack Paul for bringing him along to this terrible place. You know? You said it was God. I don't know. What did you eat when you had that vision? I mean, what's... I don't know about that. I should have prayed myself and... You know, you said it was God, and here we are. Backs are bleeding, and we're bolted to the floor, and we're in the lower part of the prison. In other words, this is where the bathrooms drained. So they didn't have bathrooms, but this is where the lower part of the prison in Philippi, everything came down. This is the lower part, inner part, the lower part. Gravity took everything down. This is not the best place to be. This is not the 5-star hotel. No, no, this is not where you want to be. And yet they didn't begin to fight one another. They did not begin to point fingers at one another. They began to lift their hands, and after they prayed, they began to sing praises to God. And God heard them. The prisoners heard them. And the place began to shake. And the doors swung open and the chains fell off. Every door opened, every chain fell off, everyone was free, and nobody left. Nobody left. So we must rule over the circumstances with calm delight and command ourselves to think cheerfully and glad, because we do not want to do that naturally. That's not just our flesh. No. But our spirit. See, this the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. This is a spiritual thing. This is where we need to tap into and learn to walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit and we won't give place to the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. So walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. We command ourselves to think cheerfully and glad, and then we act exceedingly joyful. Then we act exceedingly joyful. It's not enough just to rule over the circumstance and be calm. What else do we need to do? We need to command ourselves to think cheerfully and glad, and then we must respond physically and be exceedingly joyful. Can you see that? This has got every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body involved. Our whole being involved. Ruling over the circumstance with calm delight. Commanding ourselves to think cheerfully and glad, and then begin to act exceedingly joyful. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is what counted all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, tests, trials, and frustrating situations means. Counted all joy. Counted all joy. Counted all joy. And so now let's go ahead and go to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. And we will close with this verse. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. You are here somewhere. Habakkuk chapter 3. It's just, as a matter of fact, it's only three chapters. So, I mean, it's a little bitty book. You flip too fast, you're gone past it. Habakkuk chapter 3. Matter of fact, my finger's right there on it. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 17. I say this is a related verse to John chapter 16, verse 33 that we already read, where it says that in the world you have frustration, but be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world and deprived it of its ability to harm you, right? So this is, I would say, the Old Testament equivalent. Let's look at this. Verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit or no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, I don't know about you, but that's a depressing verse. I mean, that's a bad year. That's a bad week. That's you know, no blossom, no fruit, failure. There's no food. That's lack. Everything seems to be cut off. And then there's no herd in the stall. I mean, it's empty. It's empty. Empty. It's not good. This could be frustrating. This could be frustrating. Frustrating, huh? Things are cut off. I mean, we've been watching a program about, HGTV, one of the couples from HTV family in Ontario that bought the chalet in Whistler. And right in the middle of the renovation, it was last year when the floods went through BC and literally everything was cut off. No trains getting in, no buses going in, no trucks going in, no cars going in. Nothing's going in. Planes aren't. Nothing can get there. All of a sudden, the job site is shut down because nothing can get there. It's all cut off. A little frustrating. You know, so our own lives. There's no blossom, no fruit, failure, no food, lack. Things are cut off. It seems to be empty. Now what? Verse 18, yet. You know what verse 18 says? You know what the word yet means? I don't care what it looks like. You just stick your tongue out at it and laugh. Ha, 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 ha. I don't care. You know, I don't care. I don't care. Oh, you know what? With that phrase. If you watch the movie Secretariat, they get to a point where she endeavors to sell shares to Secretariat. And nobody, all the horses, nobody would not want to get involved in the syndication. And it gets to a point in the movie where she's standing and she says, I don't care. I don't care. See, that's what this yet is all about. I don't care. We're going to succeed. I don't care. We're going to the other side. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care. We're not allowing that to dictate our future. We're not allowing that to dictate our actions to back up, to retreat, and to give up. We are not giving up. I don't care. That's what the word yet means. Yet. Yet what? Yet I will rejoice. Yeah, but there's nothing to rejoice about. No, 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 no. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. He's my strength. Yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength. Now the word strength there can be translated, it also means force. It means army. It means wealth. It means riches. It means substance. It means valor. It means worthy. It means virtue, goods, host, might, and power. So when I look at those words, when I think about all those words, the Lord God is my strength, I use this word, the Lord God is my source. He's my source of everything. He's my wealth, he's my substance, he's my host, he's my valor, he's my army. He's the force behind my victory. He's my strength, he's my source of everything in my life. So when it looks like nothing's working, yet I will rejoice. When we find ourselves in a frustrating situation and circumstance, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. He's our source. And he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Hallelujah. He makes our feet like deer's feet. They're smooth, they're sure, they're accurate, they're precise, they ascend. It's just beautiful. Hallelujah. He makes my feet like deer's feet. I don't stumble and trip and fall. And he makes me walk on my high hills. Hallelujah. He makes us walk on our high hills. Or we can look around and see, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. But we say, first of all, yet I will rejoice. This is where it starts. How do we respond to frustration? Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. What does the word rejoice mean? Yet I will rejoice. Well, the word rejoice it's another different Hebrew word, number H5937. It means to jump for joy, to be joyful, and to triumph. To jump for joy, that's kind of like spin. You know, you got the rejoice. One means spin. One means jump. Another one means merry-hearted, you know, brighten up. That's the two words here. Rejoice, to jump for joy, to be joyful, to triumph. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. That is the word 1523, which means to spin around, to be joyful and glad. Hallelujah. So it's just a matter of jumping for joy and spinning around and just being glad, hallelujah, because the Lord is doing great things. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. And that's what I did when my finger. That's what I did when it wasn't working properly. And I remember that one day. I did it multiple times. But the one day, I was just rejoicing in the Lord and thanking you, Lord, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. In my living room, glory to God, glory to God, glory, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yet I will rejoice. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. And within a couple of days, it dawned on me that it worked properly again. It was no longer stuck. It was no longer swollen. I could put my ring back on. And it had full freedom of motion. And there was no pain when I gripped and grabbed stuff and made a fist. And for almost a year, it wasn't working properly. And it was getting worse. Yet, I will rejoice. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. And then, it broke loose. It came free. Healed, healthy, and whole. Why? Because faith has a secret weapon. Faith has a secret weapon to rejoice, to be glad, to be joyful, to cheer up. Amen? Faith has a secret weapon in order to take new territory. If we've got territory in our lives that we see in the Word of God that belongs to us, and yet we don't have it, this is a key right here, a secret weapon to move forward and to take that new territory, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, whether it's peace, whatever it might be. This is a secret weapon to take that new territory that He has for us. Businesses, ideas, concepts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To experience breakthroughs. Yet, I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength. He's my source. He's not my problem. He's my answer. He's not your problem. He's your answer. Amen? He's our source. He's our strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for encouraging us what to do and how to act and how to respond in the face of frustration and situation and circumstances, trials that seem to be against us. Thank You. We choose to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. We choose to rejoice and be glad. We choose to laugh at the enemy. Yet I will rejoice. I'm not backing down. I'm not giving up. I don't care. We don't care what it looks like. We don't care what it sounds like. We don't care what it feels like. We believe God that it shall be even as it was told us. And so we choose to be glad. We choose to rejoice. We choose to cheer up, to brighten up. And we thank You for it, Lord. We thank You for it. We thank You for breakthrough. We thank You for victory. We thank You for new hope. We thank You for taking new territory. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Glory to God.